The BBC has been accused of serious failings in allowing the TV presenter Jimmy Savile to sexually abuse 72 women and children without detection for decades, including the rape of a 10-year-old boy and a 13-year-old girl. This is the finding of an independent review of Jimmy Savile's sexual abuse at the BBC by former Court of Appeal judge Dame Janet Smith. Dame Janet Smith said that the BBC culture was, quote, deeply deferential, and staff were reluctant to speak to managers about complaints because of a culture of fear.
All the problems of reporting were compounded in the case of the talent. Celebrities were treated with kid gloves and were virtually untouchable. One witness told me that the talent were more valuable to the BBC than their own values.
That's Dame Janet Smith. The Director General of the BBC, Tony Hall, has accepted the report's conclusions and says he'll launch an independent audit of the organisation's whistleblowing and child protection policies. He says he wants to apologise to the victims directly.
A serial rapist and a predatory sexual abuser both hid in plain sight at the BBC for decades. It was a dark chapter in the history of the organisation, but a much darker one for all of you. The BBC failed you when it should have protected you. I am deeply sorry for the hurt caused to each and every one of you.
BBC Director General Tony Hall. But despite the review's findings, it also absolves the broadcaster of any responsibility. That's led lawyers for the victims to describe this report as an expensive whitewash. Paul Connew is the former editor of the Sunday Mirror, former deputy editor of the Daily Mirror and News of the World. He gave evidence to the BBC inquiry into Jimmy Savile. Paul Connew, welcome to RM Breakfast.
Good morning to you.
Paul, this report's received a pretty mixed reaction. The victims say it doesn't go far enough, that it almost absolves senior BBC managers from not knowing what was going on. What's your response to these findings?
Well, I think the BBC have emerged from this not fatally wounded, but certainly bloodied, battered, and with a long way to go to claw back its reputation. I'm also a media advisor to some of the survivor campaign groups, and very few of those are going to see it as anything other than a relative whitewash. I think there was a certain degree of relief that Lord Hall accepted. It went actually further than Dame Janet Smith. He actually acknowledged that the BBC's top management should have known and could have known. And obviously, you know, these events, you know, happened long before he became Director General. So to that extent, in fact, he's gone further than the judge. But it's not going to satisfy very many of the victims, you know, who believe that, that if nothing else, the BBC leadership's antennae were actually out of tune, that they didn't pick up anything. I mean, over 100 people who worked for the BBC told Dame Janet Smith that they, in some cases, they knew about it, in other cases, they'd heard strong rumours and had strong suspicions, and yet, this never, according to the report, reached the ears of the most senior management of the BBC.
And this is that's the escape clause for the BBC, isn't it? Dame Janet Smith talking about the culture of fear, talking about a culture at the BBC was deeply deferential, but not finding that the most senior staff were told about it. I mean, that's their out clause. Also, the fact that most of this occurred in the 70s and the 80s, so it is historical.
Back to the 60s.
So it doesn't really, I mean, it really allows the BBC to sort of step out from under it, doesn't it? Do you think that's warranted given the evidence that was heard by many people, including the evidence given by yourself?
Yes, well, in fact, my evidence was based around the fact that a Sunday Mirror editor back in 1994, we had two victims of Savile who were very, very convincing. We were sure they were telling the truth. They weren't after money. They hadn't come to us. We'd been put in touch with them by somebody who knew them and wanted to expose the Savile. Mm. The reason we couldn't run the story was because, this is an example perhaps of the power and the sinister power of Savile, that they became terrified at the prospect of, you know, of going into court, because we had to warn them that Savile would inevitably sue us when we published, and they were afraid. By this stage, these were former approved school girls, and you know, now grown up, and in one case with a couple of children. She actually was determined for a long time to expose Savile, but then, you know, her husband didn't want her to face going into a witness box and her past as an approved school girl, of the sexual relationship or abuse she suffered at the hands of, you know, of Savile to emerge and reach the age of their growing children. And her friend, who was also a victim of Savile from the same approved school, she was afraid to go it alone, as it were. And I'll never forget what one of them said to me is, if we get the witness box, who's going to believe us? You know, ex-approved school girls against Jimmy Savile. He's a friend of Margaret Thatcher. He goes to spend Christmas with Margaret Thatcher. He's a friend of Prince Charles and Princess Diana. He's even been lauded by the Pope. Who's going to believe us? And of course, that is the whole. That is the whole, if you like, tone of this report in many ways, and of child sex abuse, you know, generally.
Indeed it is, Paul. So just finally, where does that leave us now? The lawyers representing the victims have described it as disappointing and a whitewash. The finding that senior managers were not told of complaints about this, you know, all of that sort of puts it in the past. But this notion that the Dame Smith finds that a culture of fear still exists in the BBC, is that what's going to ping the BBC ultimately, do you think? Just briefly,
it could do. I think, you know, to be fair, I think it's not just the BBC, that lots of big organisations, climate of fear, or fearing that if you blow the whistle, it's not good for your career, you know, is there. I'm just hoping, though, that this doesn't end here. I'm hoping that the statutory judge-led inquiry being done by into child sex abuse generally in the UK by the New Zealand judge, Justice Lovell Goddard, you know, has more power than the Janet Smith inquiry, which you were invited to give evidence to it. You weren't compelled to. And also, many of the people, of course, I mean, some are dead, but many of the people who had worked with Savile are no longer on the BBC payroll, so they were under no obligation to give evidence. Justice Lovell Goddard's inquiry, the statutory inquiry, which has the power to compel witnesses to appear and to give evidence under oath. We don't know how many people declined to give evidence to Dame Janet Smith, but she didn't have as much muscle as Lovell Goddard will have. So I think a lot of victims will be pressing for that inquiry, you know, to also look into the BBC, Savile, and the Stuart Hall scandals, and in the hope that people forced to give evidence and cross-examined under oath will be more forthcoming, and that this might bring out things that Dame Janet Smith perhaps wasn't able to.
All right, Paul, look, thank you very much for joining us.
My pleasure. Okay.
Paul Connew, the former editor of the Sunday Mirror, former deputy editor of the Daily Mirror and News of the World, and he did give evidence to the BBC inquiry into Jimmy Savile, which has been released overnight. He had 72 victims of rape and sexual assault. The youngest victim that they know of so far was 8 years old. Just disgusting. It's 6:20 on Breakfast.